we look at Elijah in the Bible, we see that, you know, God was giving him rest. God was giving him food.
Yes.
God was giving him some exercise, you know, and that he was helping in this process of getting him to improve through those kind of self-care, physical care kind of things. So they're all.
Well, hello, everyone. We're so glad to be back here on the Salty Pastor Podcast, and we are just really blessed with Dr. Jeff Wagaman, who is here. He is the founder and lead psychologist at the Cascade Counseling Center. It's a Christian counseling practice in Olympia, Washington, that has really grown and become extremely effective and productive over the last 30 or so years. And we are just really blessed that he's been able to come and talk with us on the Salty Pastor Podcast. And also, he's going to be here on Sunday, March 17th, and he will be along with his lovely wife who's coming, and they're going to be addressing Foothills Christian Church on the topic of depression. We're currently in our series, Weeds in Our Garden, an honest conversation about mental health. So, Jeff, we're so glad you're joining with us again today and helping us unravel, in a practical sense, some of the things we can do to help ourselves or help others who might be struggling with depression.
Thanks, Doug. It's my pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about that kind of remind everybody is last week, you just really described depression so well, is that there's usually a catalyst that happens, and then it kind of builds a shell around it, right? So you have to kind of work with that. And you said one of the things that we do is we really try to challenge irrational beliefs. And so sometimes in counseling and therapy with someone who's struggling with depression, there's a little bit of tug of war going on there. So could you talk into that and kind of refresh everybody's memory real quick?
Yeah, I think that for most people, because some people are going to have, there's going to be exceptions to this rule. Some people have a biological depression. They may have bipolar disorder, and their depression is just caused by their brain and probably serotonin levels off in their brain. And they could have the best day in the world the day before, and they wake up the next morning depressed and suicidal because of just their brain. But that's not most of us. And so for most of us, depression is a process that happens over time. And it takes, you know, typically at least a 2 week period of time, which isn't very long, but where they have an event, something happens, and they then think about and dwell on that event. And Sunday, I'll probably talk about more of some of these events. But, you know, I think when I talk about these activating events is that they can be our own thoughts even. An activating event could be an own thought that can happen. But it could be we go through something traumatic. We go through maybe a person's sexually assaulted. Maybe they lose a job. Maybe, like I said, their spouse leaves them. Maybe they do something that they feel horrible about, and they've committed some sin that they feel terrible about. There can be lots of activating events that get the ball rolling. And so they can be things that people have done to us, or be things that we've done to others can be activating events as well. So any of those things are in there that get the thing going. It could even be, let's say I had a traumatic event happen years ago and I think about that traumatic event, or it gets stirred up by something that could be an activating event. And then we think about that activating event and we start thinking about it in a very hopeless, negative, attacking, self-depreciating way. And we really start beating the crap out of ourselves over this thing. And we feel awful. And we do that for a period of time, pretty consistently for a couple week period. And we will, within that time, we will most likely move into a depression. And we will then that depression will just deepen as we continue that process. But at that point, I said, well, we've done that process, and we're now in this state of depression, which has physical components, mental components, spiritual components, that now we're kind of stuck. And it's not like just being in a bad mood. It's not like just, oh, I had a couple bad days, because all of us can kind of relate to that, kind of bummed out. That's not what this is. This is way bigger than that. This is a clinical depression. This is something we moved into, and our body is almost saying, okay, now we're going to stay here.
And that shell is really strong once you get there.
That shell is not something that we're just going to say, hey, why don't you spend some time in prayer and we're going to get bounced out of it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to really work at this. Not that you shouldn't pray about it, but you know that, but that you're going to have to really work at getting out of this depression. And that's where it takes concerted effort to break through.
Yeah. Before we talk about, you know, efforts and things that you can do, what maybe we could just pause and you could say, kind of help us understand, what signs do you look for in people, or like I could look for in myself or look for in other people around me that might help me see while they've kind of slid into this depression and this shell has formed and it's pretty tough. What kind of signs do you look for to identify?
Well, that? I think when we talk about clinical depression as a psychologist, we use this diagnosis, statistical manual of mental health disorders, and in it is depression. And there's 9 symptoms of depression that we look for. And if you have 5 of these symptoms, we would call you depressed.
Okay.
So the first one is mood, and it's usually a depressed mood. But what we also know is that it doesn't have to be a depressed mood. It can be an irritable mood or even a numb mood.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be just depression. And that's oftentimes can be right off the get-go. We think, well, I don't feel depressed. Well, that's because we're numb or we're ticked off. we're angry.
Yeah.
Torqued. And but that's one of the areas. Our mood isn't stable. It isn't normal. Our mood doesn't feel okay. Our mood feels off, but it's usually in a depressed way or irritable way. And then the other thing we see is a diminished interest in pleasurable activities. So their ability to experience pleasure goes down, and the things they used to like to do, they don't seem to be doing. So if they used to like movies or getting together with friends or that kind of thing, they're stopping that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. That might be one thing we look for. That might be, we always got together every Tuesday night. We went out, and they don't want to do that now. That kind of thing. There. So if we see a loss of pleasure, that's one of the symptoms. Weight loss is another symptom, or weight gain can be a symptom. Now, obviously, these aren't separate to all of these. We're looking at these all together as for depression.
Yeah.
But then insomnia or hypersomnia, so somebody who can't sleep or they sleep all the time. And these can be things that we just kind of notice, like somebody that we're getting together with them, or they're saying they're having a hard time. And every time, you know, we talk to them, they say, you know, yeah, I slept 22 hours today, you know, that kind of thing. And so that would be like, okay, they're having some of those symptoms. Another one is psychomotor agitation or retardation. So they're really amped up, or they're very lethargic. That would be another one.
Yeah.
And then, but you see, some of these are physical, right? So, so fatigue or loss of energy is another one. Feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt is another one. And then a diminished ability to think or concentrate is the 8th one. And the last one would be recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. So these 9 symptoms are what make up depression. And some of these are physical. We look for the physical things. Some of these, I would say, are mental.
Yeah.
Some of these are kind of spiritual as well. And so we look at all of these. So when I'm looking for these, when I talk to people, you know, I'm looking for these symptoms. If they're saying they're coming in for, maybe they're just coming in because they aren't very happy, but when they're talking, I'm looking for these symptoms. And I may be kind of checking them off as we go, even though I don't go boom, 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 boom. I'm just talking about their life and how are they sleeping? What's their appetite like? What do they like to do for fun? You know, that kind of stuff. And then are they doing those things? Mm-hmm. And so we go through that and it kind of becomes apparent that they're maybe struggling a little bit with depression. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do see that maybe you're hinting at a little bit is, what can I do to help? Is that kind of one thing? What can I do to help somebody who's depressed or see what's going on? I think one thing that has always surprised me is that we oftentimes mask our symptoms. Mm-hmm. We fight it. We hide it. And I can't tell you how many times I've had clients in my office. We're laughing. We're joking. They have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And then I say, you know, I'd like to give you a depression test. And I give them a depression test and they come out back in the severe range of depression. And I go, does that surprise you at all? And most of the time they go, oh no, that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. That's why I'm here. You know, and I go, well, you know, you're joking, you're laughing. And they go, yeah, I'm just faking it. You know? Yeah. So that kind of thing. And they learn that socially appropriate ways of behaving and they aren't going to show everybody that. Yeah. So I think that when we interact with people, and this can create a lot of guilt for people, I think, when they have had somebody who tried to kill themselves or even did kill themselves and they knew the person and they go, I should have known. I should have been able to see it. And I think the reality is most of the times we don't see it.
We don't see it.
They don't show it. They don't show it. They don't let us know. And so they hide it. And I've had lots of people who I've seen after us, a person they know of has killed themselves. And that was exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
They seemed like they were doing great.
Yeah. Nobody had any idea.
And so I think that we can go that people just mask that kind of stuff. But if they don't mask it and they say, hey, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling down or I'm feeling suicidal, you know, we want to take those things serious. And especially I would say when people say, I'm feeling suicidal, we want to take that one really serious. Mm-hmm. They used to say years and years ago that there was this false narrative going around that people that talk about killing themselves don't kill themselves. Mm-hmm. That is not true. People who talk about killing themselves, they kill themselves. Mm. So people say something, hey, I feel like killing myself. We want to take that serious, very serious. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about this more, but I could talk about it a little bit now, is that one of the things when we hear that term, like, oh, I want to kill myself. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about killing myself. We can ask, and this is kind of freaks people out because, you know, I think when you have a friend that you know is depressed, it's really going through a hard thing and they're really struggling. Like maybe they have lost weight. Maybe they aren't eating. They aren't going to work. They're not functioning well. And we could go, yeah, they have 6 or 7 of these symptoms or 5 of these symptoms. We can go, okay, they're probably depressed. If they're a good friend, ask them, do you feel suicidal?
Yeah.
Because when you ask them that question, it's not going to be, oh, you know, I haven't felt suicidal, but now that you mentioned it, that might be a good thing for me to do. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. You're not planting a seed by asking.
No. And I think people are afraid to ask because they think they might be doing that. They aren't.
They're not.
But when you ask it, that they're probably going to be more shocked that you even asked it because very often nobody has asked it. Mm-hmm. And so then when you ask it, they can then go, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. And that's one. So do you have, and then you could say, do you really feel like killing yourself? Do you feel this strongly? And it might be, yes, mm-hmm. I do. And then you go, how would you do it?
Yeah.
So you're asking for a means, how would you do it? And, you know, a lot of times what we hear is very often, well, I feel suicidal. How would you do it? I don't know how I do it. I don't have any idea how I do it. You know, that will help out. But we might hear, well, I'd probably shoot myself. Mm. Do you have a gun? Can you get a gun? Mm-hmm. How would you do it? How would you make it happen? Well, I have a gun in my drawer. I would just take that gun and shoot myself. Okay. And then, so we're looking for a means, a plan, an intent. Is what we're looking for. And so if we get those things, I have a plan and I have a means, mm-hmm. and I think I'm really going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, then we go, okay, we're in the three, we're in a dangerous position. And as a friend, I would say we need to go, hey, I'm your friend. We need to prevent this, because we know from studying suicide that people who have tried to kill themselves and survive get better. They don't stay in this state of being depressed for the rest of life. They get through it and they survive and they move on and they can have a great life. But when we're in it, we're so hopeless and miserable that we can't see. We're not thinking straight. We're really thinking irrational, and wanting to kill ourselves is irrational. Mm-hmm. One of the things I try to do is what I tell my patients is that I have to keep you alive. That's one of my job is to keep you alive. Mm-hmm. And so when we start talking about suicide, I'm shifting into that mode of my job is to keep you alive. And so if you have a plan and you have intent and you have the means, I'm going to intervene in one of those areas, if not more. And so we remove the gun, we remove the means. And what's also weird about that whole thing is that we think that, well, if you remove that means, they'll just grab another one. Mm-hmm. And that almost always doesn't happen, because it's not easy to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, you have to psych yourself up to do this thing.
Yeah.
And so you psych yourself up to do this thing, but now I took that thing away. Well, you don't just grab the next thing. It's right. just too hard.
It's too hard.
And it really just takes the wind out of your sail. And I think as friends, I think that one of the best things, you know, if they're suicidal, encourage them to get help. That's for sure one of those things.
First,
encourage them to get help. Have people around them. Don't let them be alone, especially if they're suicidal with a high intent. Mm-hmm. You can call the crisis counselor in the area. You can call 911. You can do those kind of things if it's pretty imminent, that they're thinking pretty strongly about hurting themselves. That I think those interventions are good.
Yeah.
But, you know, more often on the lower level, that the person is struggling with it, but they don't really have a means or intent, they're still miserable.
Yeah.
And what we can do as friends is to hang out, is to be around them, to be a friend. We're not giving them advice about how to get out of their depression. Mm-hmm. We're just being there with them. And one of the things we can do is try to help them experience pleasure. Like, hey, let's watch a movie. Let's hang out. Let's have dinner. Let's do something fun. I'm just going to hang out here and be your friend. And I'm just going to walk with you through this. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to me about it if you want. And I'm going to just listen. And I think that's better. You know, Joe, when he went through,
yeah,
you know, it felt that after he had gone through all this stuff, his children all died. He lost everything. He had these three friends come over, I believe, and they stayed with him for 7 days and didn't say a thing.
Yeah.
And they just hung out with it. And that turned out to be the best thing they did, because when they started talking,
that's when it got bad.
Then it got bad. And that's when God said, hey, you should have kept your mouth shut, you know, is what he said.
That's really, yeah.
And so I think that if we can take that example a little bit, at least, and go, mm-hmm. hey, when you have a friend who's really struggling, be a friend,
yeah.
be a really good friend, hang out with them and spend time with them. And just be there. And if it's getting pretty ugly, encourage them to get some help.
Is there anything to this sense, like if you see somebody in depression, I've just kind of read a little bit about this. I'm not really adept at it. But the notion of walking, like if you have a friend, hey, let's go for a walk. That physical activity. What's the research on that and how effective is that?
I think all of the research on this is that, first of all, when I look at depression, it might be good in this case to look at depression kind of on a continuum, so that people over here aren't depressed. They're just sad.
Okay.
And then we go down here and then we get eventually to depression, and that they got five of the symptoms. And then we got people down here that are really struggling to function. And then we got people down here that are sleeping all the time and not eating, and they're maybe ready to kill themselves and need to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So we got this continuum. And that what we find sometimes is that some of these things that like exercise, working out, arguing with your thinking, prayer, practicing any of the principles of the Bible, any of the quiet times, all that stuff are really good on the probably medium above. When you're really, really depressed, sometimes when we say, hey, let's go on a walk, they go, oh, I can't go on a walk. You know, that can't, yeah. I can't do that. Well, can we walk around the living room? Yeah, we can walk around the living room. So we walk around the living room a couple of times and that's it, you know, but I think that overall, when we look at physical health, exercising, eating properly, sleeping properly, all these things are helpful for our getting out of depression. When we look at Elijah in the Bible, mm-hmm. we see that, you know, God was giving him rest. God was getting him food.
Yes.
God was giving him some exercise, you know, and that he was helping in this process of getting him to improve through those kind of self-care, physical care kind of things. So they're all helpful. It's just complicated. It's going to be several things. I think usually what I find is it's lots of different things mm-hmm. that help us get to the point where we get out of this depression.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a journey.
Well, and I think that, you know, some of the things that you said that I just want to remind our audience of is that, you know, this thing functions on a continuum, and anything that functions on a continuum, it tends to be multiple variables. It becomes complex. And
yes.
the more you go down the continuum, the more variables you have. And so you have to kind of have somebody who can be a guide, a coach, a clinician, a professional who can say, wow, this really is complex. There's a lot of variables. We want to address it on all these levels. We used an illustration like there's multiple buckets, right? And
right.
you need to be dipping into every bucket, you know, and addressing all of it together. And so that's kind of what we have wanted to encourage people to do, because even though I believe that the, you know, the instigation, the catalyst as we get off track tends to be from the spiritual bucket, because from the spiritual bucket comes our very, very core beliefs, our most powerful beliefs. If those are misaligned or they're irrational or they're based on a traumatic experience as opposed to the very truth of God, what ends up happening is that we can slide down this continuum more rapidly, so to speak. And I think one of the illustrations that Jesus used, which is really interesting, is he says, the road to destruction is wide. You know, in he doesn't use the word hell, he just uses the word destruction. And it's like, is that Satan is trying to, you know, push us down the 6-lane freeway with all these variables, right? Down into a negative place. And whereas truth and light can pull us out. And so sometimes we need more than, like you said earlier, than, you know, well, praying about it is good, but that's not going to solve the problem right now. It's one of many things that we need to do. Could you comment on that just a little bit?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's treading on dangerous territory little bit, because I really believe in the spiritual. And I think that component is by far the most component of our life.
Yes.
But I think that sometimes we've seen this where we have, well, in the Bible, you have David, you have Job, you have Elijah, you have others that were very spiritual people, loved God, mm-hmm. and yet went through depression, severe depression, which they weren't born. Mm-hmm. Elijah was suicidal, you know, at least somewhat probably, you know, and so wanted to die. You know, and so you have these people that were really highly spiritual. And I'm going to use Elijah as a study on Sunday to show just kind of how it looks. But I think we can be very spiritual people and yet still be depressed. And it feels like those two couldn't exist, but I think they can. And yet there's some things that are off for sure. And probably off in the spiritual. If we tie those that we are thinking like God would have us think into the spiritual, mm-hmm. then we're going to say their thinking's off for sure. Sometimes I put that in the mental. I put thinking a lot of times in the mental category, you know, but I think our thinking needs to be in line with God's word mm-hmm. for sure. And if that's accurate thinking, that's truth. And if we look at the thinking about the word, what God says about us, and that we are to think that same way about ourselves that he thinks about us, mm-hmm. then I think that that is very health promoting. And so that will help us. And when our thinking isn't accurate, isn't consistent with that, we work at getting our thinking consistent with that. Mm-hmm. But our thinking is going to be, very negative. You know, one of the verses, I think it's Romans 12:2 or something like that, says, renewing your mind, right? Renewing our mind. And mm-hmm. so that's one thing that I think that we're trying to do, is we're trying to renew our mind. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We're gratitude. I think gratitude is a great biblical principle that has been shown to help with depression. And help us once we're out of depression, to help us stay out of depression. And that gratitude can be very, very powerful. And you see it all through the Bible. You know, and plus once you get aware of it, you see it everywhere. You know, like Philippians, where he talks about pray about everything without ceasing with thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, so it's like, with gratitude, you know, with gratitude about where God has come through for me before, that how he's going to come through to now, you know, this whole thing. So,
I have a lot of gratitude right now that you're partnering with us in this. I'm very excited, but I'm excited you're going to be talking about Elijah. I preached on Elijah last Sunday about stress and burnout. And I spent a lot of time talking about what led up to the burnout. You know, I mean, being, you know, on the lam basically for 3 years and confronting the prophets of Baal and all this kind of stuff. So it'll be really wonderful to see you pick up and kind of go back the other part, because I wasn't able in the time that I had to really spend an inordinate amount of time on how God restored him and all these other types of things. I kind of spoke in generalities about them. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm very excited about you coming. I'm extremely excited about the Mental Health Matters Symposium on Saturday night. And I'm going to ask everybody who's listening to try to come out on Saturday night and spend some time with Jeff and his wife, and they're going to be there answering questions. They love that interactive back and forth. And then on Sunday, he's going to be speaking along with his wife in our two main services on Sunday. So we're really excited about it. And I'm just so glad that you came and spent a little podcasting time with me, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate it, too.
All right. Well,
look forward to this week.
I am, too. And so, everybody in the Salty Crew, we're so glad that you were with us, and we hope to see you this Sunday. And I'm going to say blessings as we sign off. Bye.